And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on a Monday as we kickstart another week. Football was played over the weekend, and we got more football to get ready for throughout this week as football season is officially upon us. Coming up, my takeaways from week 0. Plus, we'll start previewing the Power 5 conferences in college football, and we'll run the 5 of them by the time Thursday kicks off. Now that preseason has come and gone in the NFL, how would we rank the rookie quarterbacks? We've been doing it each week. We'll do it once again today, our final ranking of the preseason. More optimism for the Panthers from over the weekend, plus the Super Bowl window closing for certain NFL teams. Who needs to take advantage of their window before it closes this year? One quarterback was moved over the weekend. Will we see another? A fake high school football team got onto ESPN. And I got some grievances to air as well as we move along throughout the afternoon. With you till 3 on this Monday with plenty to do. And you can always join the conversation. 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston, via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. You can also find the latest versions of the show podcasted. Or you can even take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Monday as we start another week, and we got plenty to do. Joe's on the steel wheels. He's working hard at the moment. We'll catch up with Joe in a little bit. But plenty to do here this afternoon, beginning with week 0. Let me start with this. I watched the games on Saturday, and it was a lot like Al Capone's vault. Right when we were waiting for, let's open this thing up. Let's see what's inside in the basement of this hotel in Chicago. And it was a big deal. And Geraldo was out there, and it was a national event and on TV. And they were promoting it. And we got there, and they opened the vault, and there was nothing. And it was just a big waste of time. When we talked about the Alliance last week or even the week prior, that's another one of those events that wasn't quite as built up as the vault or even maybe week 0. But one of those things that we were kind of looking forward to see what exactly would entail. We were hearing about it. Seemed like it could be a big deal. Then we got the outcome of the Alliance, and we realized, that was it. I always compare it to fights in boxing, where we wait for these fights for years, and they finally happen, and at that point, it's too late. And you were all excited, and you've been hearing about it for years. Mayweather and Pacquiao, and, we're finally going to get the fight. And then you sit down, and you watch, and you think, this was a waste of time. That was week 0. We've been waiting for football to come back, hoping for a more normal season this year. We're hearing about week 0. It's not week 1. It's even sooner. It's even sooner than number 1. I don't know how that works. Right? Do you have your second child, your first child, and this was our 0 child? I don't get this whole 0 thing. But we had week 0 this past weekend, and really, what a letdown it was. And I guess we shouldn't have been too surprised. The games weren't very good. It was exciting to have football back. You sit down, you watch it, and it was like when they opened the vault at the end of that hour TV special 20 years ago, more than that, 30 years ago, and there was nothing in there. And you thought, I sat around. I waited weeks for this. I was all excited. I got the popcorn ready. I sat here for an hour waiting for this. This is the big reveal. Nothing. We wasted our time. We sat down for week 0, excited to have college football back, and we thought this was what we were waiting for, to sit down, to clear my Saturday for this, to watch these games. It was a waste of time. Now, here are my takeaways from week 0. I got 5 of them. Number 1, expect sloppiness early in the year. Maybe it was just week 0. Maybe it was the fact that none of these teams were ranked. But there was lots of sloppy football, turnovers, penalties, blowouts. In fact, four of the five games on Saturday hit the under when it came to the point total. Now, you may not be a gambler, so you don't care, but the point being, the offenses were worse than expected. These games were less offensive than Vegas expected. Four out of five went under. The only one that went over did so by 1 point. So all the games, all five games underachieved in terms of how many points we were expecting. It was sloppy football. We also got pretty much five blowouts. Four blowouts. The Nebraska-Illinois was a good game, but otherwise four blowouts the rest of the way. The winning margins on Saturday were 8, 27, 31, 34, 45. I don't know why we should get excited for week zero if they're going to throw us a bunch of crap games, because they didn't care, so why should we? And I was excited, and I watched all the games, and it was a waste of time. Now, week one, this week, we have a lot of great games just before the NFL starts, which is perfect because I've been saying since I've been on the air here and prior to that, college football needs to take advantage of those first couple of weeks before the NFL begins. Give us great games early. Right, this past Saturday was the only football on TV. You could have had the entire nation sitting down watching football, and what do they give us? They give us UCLA and Hawaii, and they give us UConn and Fresno State. At least week one is good this year. But if we're going to do this week zero stuff, give us some interesting games on week zero. At least one big game at night that is the premier event. Instead, nothing else is going on. We're all waiting for football. You sit down and it's like Southern Utah is playing University of Phoenix Saturday night. That was the big event. Give us better games in week zero. Instead, we got four blowouts. My second takeaway from week zero, UConn shouldn't even bother. They opted out of last season. They should just opt out of all the other seasons. They lost 45-0 to Fresno State. The first point scored in the game were on a scooping score by Fresno State. That's how the game started, or at least the scoring started. Fewest yards of offense for UConn since they became an FBS member. That was their worst offensive performance since moving to the FBS. And I'm sadly a UConn fan, so I was watching most of this game and eventually turned it off, and it was just a complete waste of time. UConn's now 6-37 in their last 43 games. They've lost 25 of their last 26 road games. Their defensive coordinator lives in Mount Pleasant with his family. And we got the UConn defensive coordinator in town. He's not going to want you to know he lives around here because it's been so embarrassing for this program of late. They shouldn't even bother. They're independent. They might as well go FCS. They might as well just stop playing football at this point with how poor of a program it is. And we'll talk about another program that played on Saturday that has gone in a similar trend where they were towards the top of college football and now they have really faded. We'll get to them in just a moment. UConn is very interesting in that they weren't necessarily the top of college football, but they did play in a BCS bowl just a decade ago. And how quickly things turn around. I would wonder if there was another program in college football that's been like that over the years, that had one really great season. They won the Big East. They played in a BCS bowl. They went up against Andrew Luck, got blown out. And then afterwards, or they went up against Oklahoma, right? And then afterwards, just a couple years later, they came and won a game. Such a steep drop-off. I don't know if we've seen something like that before, where they came up real quick, and then they fell down just as quick. My third takeaway from week zero, experience will matter. The most experienced teams, right, it'll make a difference this year. We have more experience in college football this year than ever before because of the pandemic. All of these players got an extra year of eligibility. So we have more experienced teams than we're used to. Usually teams have to replace a third of their roster. That's not the case for any of the average Power 5 teams this year. They're all returning at least 70% of their players. Some are returning over 80%. Some are returning all of their starters. There are some experienced teams. Experience will play a role this year. Now, Illinois is not going to go win the national championship, but Illinois does have the most seniors in the country. And they beat Nebraska on Saturday. And it may not seem like a big win, but you know, Nebraska was favored by a touchdown on the road in that game, which means they would be favored by 10 points at a neutral field, which tells you that Vegas thought Nebraska was 10 points better than Illinois. And yet Illinois still won. First game of the season, new coach for Illinois. Nebraska, meanwhile, right, has the same coach there in his fourth year, same quarterback there, senior quarterback. Illinois loses their quarterback in the middle of the game. So by the second quarter, they have a new quarterback playing in the first game with Illinois. They have a new coach in his first game at Illinois. Illinois is not some sort of great program. Nebraska had a better record last year. Vegas tells you Nebraska's 10 points better than Illinois to begin with, and Illinois still found a way to come back and win. Right, because they are one of the oldest teams in the country. Most seniors on their roster of any school in the country. Veteran roster, veteran head coach. Illinois won't be great this year, but they may steal a couple of wins along the way because of that experience. And it's something I've been saying over these last couple of weeks as we get ready for the college football season. It could bring us some surprises. These teams are more experienced. They're older than ever before. That can help close the gap between those second-tier teams and the first-tier teams. Because the first-tier teams still lost their top talent. They go to the NFL draft. And they have to replace. They have to rely on guys playing for the first time or underclassmen or new players to the program. These other teams, it's like the Big Ten in basketball. Why is the Big Ten always doing so well in basketball? Granted, they can never win a national championship, but because they always have the most experienced teams. They may not get the top recruits like the SEC or ACC in basketball, but the Big Ten, their teams are filled with juniors and seniors, guys who have played 4 years. They're not good enough to go to the NBA early. And allows the Big Ten, they have the advantage over these other schools. That could be the case in certain areas this year, where all of these teams are bringing players back, but the top teams in college football lost a lot of talent to the NFL that they still have to replace. My fourth takeaway from week zero, Scott Frost won't make it to Christmas. He's 9-18 in the Big Ten. They are 12-21 overall. Nebraska has had three different coaches win 12 games in a single season. Scott Frost has won 12 games now in over 3 years total. And it's not just the losing, it's how they lose. I saw a quote where Scott Frost said after the game something along the lines of, well, we're just snake bit. I don't think so. I think they're just a sloppy team, and that's how Nebraska always has been under Scott Frost. And that begins at the top with the head coach. We saw a safety, right? They're trying to throw the ball out of the end zone. We saw multiple missed extra points, penalties, turnovers. There was a big scoop and score that really changed the game. You got a veteran quarterback who hasn't gotten any better under a head coach who played that position at that school and did pretty well doing so. They've had top 25 recruiting classes the last 3 years. They're bringing in talent, and yet they're not getting any better. Things that fall on the coach. Sloppy team, not developing talent, not winning enough, making too many mistakes. And Nebraska has now lost back-to-back games to Illinois for the first time in 97 years. They were favored by 16 last year and lost by 18 at home, a 34-point swing. They were favored by 16, lost by 18 last year at home to an Illinois team that had to fire their coach. They were favored by 7 this weekend and lost to a coach in his first game at Illinois. Scott Frost is 0-7 against ranked teams. And how about this? Great coaches will take time, or I should say will take advantage of extra time to prepare. You give a coach 2 weeks to get ready for a game. If they know what they're doing, it'll be hard to beat them afterwards. They'll come up with some sort of great plan. Scott Frost at Nebraska is 0-4 following a bye. He is now 1-3 to start a season. So, combine those two, Scott Frost is 1-7 at Nebraska when he has extra time to prepare. Great coaches take advantage. Bad coaches, doesn't make a difference to them. You can give them all the time in the world, they're still not going to figure it out. Give a bad student a whole year to study for a test, he's still not going to do well. He's a bad student for a reason. Scott Frost is 1-7 when he has extra time to get ready for these games. Saturday was another example. They had all offseason to get ready. They came out, played terrible, laid an egg. And Frost is an offensive coach, and yet Nebraska's offense last year scored the fewest points per game in program history, even less than when they couldn't even throw the football 80 years ago. Offensive coach, worst offense Nebraska has ever had. They outgained their opponents last year, still had a losing record. Scott Frost is 8-7 at Nebraska in games in which they're favored. When they're expected to win, they only win about half the time. They only win about half of the games they should. And now we have this investigation where Frost is being investigated by the NCAA for some sort of violations. This is the out. This is the get-out-of-jail-free card for Nebraska. They have a struggling coach. His buyout is supposed to be something like $60 million. They're not going to get rid of him that way. But now they have this investigation which is handing them, right, the keys to get out of the room in which they're being held captive. Right, it's the kidnapper undoing your handcuffs and setting you free. This is their chance. Using this investigation to have probable cause, get out of that contract without any sort of buyout if things don't work out this year. It's like when you are trying to start a fight in a relationship just so you have a reason to leave. Scott Frost won't make it to Christmas at Nebraska. It's not a good program, and now Nebraska has a reason to try to get out of that contract. By the way, Nebraska fans, I mentioned UConn. Nebraska fans, has there been any worse run for Nebraska fans or for any college football fans in the last 20 to 25 years? Right, like USC has really fallen off, but they're at least still pretty competitive. They were the number one team in the country a decade ago. They were 5-1 last year. They haven't been terrible. Tennessee has fallen off from where they were 20 years ago, but they had still at least go about 500 in the toughest conference in college football. They can at least get to a bowl game every once in a while. Right, Miami, yeah, not quite the same as 20 years ago since they've joined the ACC, but they've had some decent seasons. They'll have some winning years. And also, this year, are supposed to be a top 10 team. But Nebraska, in the past 20 years, really haven't had much. And especially the last 8 years, they can't even win more than 3 games after being one of the top teams in college football about 25 years ago. I don't know if there's been a worse drop-off for a fan base in recent history in college football. And lastly, my fifth takeaway from week zero, my last takeaway from the crappy football we saw on Saturday: don't waste your time watching South Carolina and Eastern Illinois this Saturday. Do something else. Maybe watch Clemson and Georgia instead. I went over to Bobby's back porch on Saturday. We watched the games together. I was trying to convince him, don't waste your time going to that game. Sit right here. You got a nice setup. You got multiple TVs. You're outside. It's beautiful. Watch Clemson and Georgia, and don't even put South Carolina on the other screen. Put another game on that second screen. I went over there. We watched Eastern Illinois. What a waste of time. The only interesting part was the color commentator for Indiana State, who was clearly a former player and was doing his best Chris Berman impression the whole game. All he did was make noises anytime something happened. And he was reacting. He was fanboying. That was the only interesting thing. Eastern Illinois looked terrible. The game wasn't very interesting. The broadcast was pretty poor. They couldn't even get the clock on there. I had no idea how much time was even left in the game. It was a poor production. It was a poor football game. It was a poor performance from Eastern Illinois. And now they take on the Gamecocks on Saturday. I don't care if it's the first game of Shane Beamer. This is going to be a 60-point blowout in the first half. They could beat them by 100 if they want. You don't have to play Luke Doty. Beamer said he's going to announce the starting quarterback by the end of tomorrow, some point in the next 36 hours here, we believe. Don't even waste your time putting Doty out there. Right? Take somebody from the stands, bring them out to play quarterback. Have a different fan play quarterback each of the four quarters for South Carolina. Of course, we all knew this would be a blowout. It's an FCS school. That's what should happen. But after watching this team on Saturday, I don't know, they probably get blown out by the Southern Conference. They've won 2 games the last 3 years. It's going to be a complete waste of time Saturday, and it's a night game. So you got to wait around all day for that just to go see them blow out Eastern Illinois. If you're a Gamecock fan, I know you've been waiting for this moment. First game of the year. It's a home game, Shane Beamer's first game. Go inside, watch the opening kick, and then go back to your car in the parking lot to watch the rest of the games on the TV and listen to the crowd inside the stadium as they blow out Eastern Illinois by 70. It's a waste of time. That's part of the problem I have with college football. You give us these crap games on week zero. Fortunately, we have a lot of good games on week one this year, but we also get South Carolina, Eastern Illinois. Don't even waste your time watching it. I'd rather watch reruns of Bob Loves Abishola or whatever that show is on CBS. Give me that instead of this game Saturday night. It'll be a complete waste of time for week one. My five takeaways from week zero of the college football season. As we move forward, getting ready for Thursday, which is the official beginning of week one in college football, we are going to preview the five Power Five conferences over the next couple of days. Now, full transparency, I don't believe we'll be on the air Thursday because travel plans have changed. We will have to travel Thursday during the day for the Citadel game, which means we have 3 days to get through these five conferences. So we'll do two today, two tomorrow. We'll save the SEC for Wednesday, and I'll give you my previews, breakdowns, and predictions for each of the Power Five conferences leading up until Thursday. And we'll begin that when we come back. We've been talking about Nebraska, Illinois, with week zero on Saturday. When we come back, we'll preview the Big Ten. I'll let you know how the Big Ten will shape up in 2021. It's the Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
All right, y'all. I got something here for you.
Coming up, what to expect from the Big Ten this year. I'll let you know here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Give you my week zero takeaways to begin this afternoon. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. And as we get ready for week one to begin on Thursday, I will give you my breakdowns of the Power 5 conferences throughout the week. We'll do two today, two tomorrow. We'll save the SEC for last on Wednesday to get set for Thursday. Thursday, we'll be traveling for the Citadel's opening game against Coastal Carolina Thursday night. So we have to get these in prior to Thursday. And then next week on the show, we'll go through the NFL because the NFL season begins next Thursday. And we will not be on the air Monday for Labor Day, but we'll run through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll do two divisions at a time, and we'll get through them all next week in the NFL. So I'll give you my college football Power 5 conference breakdowns this week, and I'll give you my NFL division-by-division breakdowns here on the show next week. And we'll start with the Big Ten in just a moment. But you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's first go to the phones. Billy is with us. Billy, what's going on?
Hey, Luke, how you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I got a couple of questions for you. Since they started, say, week zero for high school and college football, and we know preseason games don't count as far as the NFL, should the week zero even count against the schools that lose or win? Because, I mean, it makes no sense to me why they even do that.
I mean, technically, right, based off of semantics, I hear what you're saying. We're calling it week zero. But yet the games count. It should be week one. I never got this idea. What's week zero? Just call it week one.
Right.
Enough of the fancy wordplay. You know, there's no patient zero. Let's call them patient one. They were the first patient. This is week one. Games begin. You don't name your first child, you know, your zero child. The games should count. If you're going to tell us week zero, sure, these losing teams should say, hey, this is week zero. The games don't count anyways. We're just getting warmed up for week one. It's stupid wording.
It is, really. Number two, is the Citadel Coastal Carolina game on TV this weekend, this week?
It'll be on ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus.
Yeah,
now, how do you feel about that game?
I honestly have no idea. I don't know what to expect. I haven't seen any sort of line or spread. Coastal's obviously a top 25 team, but the Citadel's been tough against FBS opponents. It's interesting because while they're a ranked team, it's not like they're an SEC team that you have to go
right
up against. So there's not that big or as big of a gap as if they were playing Alabama like a couple years ago or Clemson. And the Citadel has this is the most experienced team they've had, certainly since Coach Brent Thompson has gotten here. But from people who've been around the program longer, they've told me in probably 30 years this is the most experienced team. So I don't know what to expect from the Citadel for the first game. My biggest question would be on the quarterback who took over in the spring. And whenever you have a first-time quarterback, right, that's the biggest change. They'll be very experienced elsewhere. And if the quarterback can play well, I think this team could be tough this year. And I think they could. If they play their good game Thursday, I think they can hang with Coastal on the road.
I got you. Now, two more things, and I'll hang up. One, I mean, I think you're right with the East Carolina-South Carolina game. That's just like it's like a nonsense game to begin with. So fans can't get too excited and say it's a blowout. Just don't put your money in your mouth as far as that goes. Wait until the following week because East Carolina probably is a tougher team. They've beaten us in the past, and I've seen it before, so you just got to wait and see. One other thing, you're talking about teams that have faded over the years. I think you got to put Florida State in the mix.
Yeah.
From where they were 25 years ago to now, I mean, they have really – I never thought I would see Florida State go down that far that fast.
Yeah, that's a good one. Appreciate the call, Billy. Florida State's a good one, of course. The difference with UConn is that it was such a sharp climb and then now such a sharp decline. Where Florida State, they have faded. They're like a Nebraska. They were towards the top of college football. Like UConn is one of those roller coasters that has a real drastic drop. You go up quick and then you come down right quick. Because UConn moved to FBS football in the early 2000s. And in less than a decade, they were playing in a BCS bowl game. And I was like, whoa, how did this happen? They were one of the, you know, they were a ranked team. They were winning their conference. And then, just as quickly, about 5 years later, they came and won a game. So Florida State isn't as extreme, but they are a good example. They're like Nebraska, where it's a little more gradual, and they were at the top a little bit longer. It wasn't like within 10 years, if you go back to the origins, I guess. When Bobby Bowden first got there, you could say he really improved that program quickly to the point in which they were one of the best in college football, and they stayed there for a long time. But Florida State would be a good one, yes, in terms of a program that was towards the top and have now fallen on hard times. Three straight losing seasons. At least they can win a few games, though. I mean, UConn, it's embarrassing. They lose by 50 every week. They had the worst defense in the country in 2019. They've lost 25 of 26 road games. And this all coming, like I said, 8 to 10 years after playing in a BCS bowl game. If Florida State continues to fade to the point where in a couple of years they can't win a road game and they're not winning any conference, UConn just went over 2 years without winning a conference game. Right, so if Florida State goes winless in the ACC for back-to-back years, then they'll be just as bad as where UConn has fallen. But they were also higher than UConn in terms of winning national championships. So, you know, they were a little bit higher, making this drop just as great. But those are other programs, Nebraska, Tennessee, Miami, Florida State, that have also fallen on hard times. I just don't think anyone is as drastic as UConn that got towards the top as quickly as they did and now have fallen towards the very bottom as quickly as they have. Which I guess shows you that that was a bit flukish, what they did 10 years ago. 843-721-9500. Let's go back to the phones. Chris is with us. Chris, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Luke. It's that time again, my friend.
Yes. It's game week. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. I just said we played competitive and well, and I hope the quarterback, as you said, worked on the passing all summer, and we had more depth and experience than we've ever had. And until I saw the ad in the paper, I didn't know Alex Ramsey come back again until he got hurt. So we still got depth, but that would have been nice to have him.
Yeah, that would have been great, especially after it looked like he was going to be out of the program. He's now been with the Citadel for 2 years, haven't been able to play, unfortunately, out for the year at the, I believe it was the ACL. And, if you could add an All-American running back to the backfield like that, that would have been a great addition. But they are getting other pieces back that they didn't have in the spring, so there will be more depth and experience in that backfield than what we saw just a few months ago, at least. So that will be certainly an improvement.
Hey, if we don't make the mistakes we have recently, and the penalties kill you in the option game, and at least don't turn it over and hog the ball, we always have a chance. So I'll be looking for your call Thursday, and go Dogs.
Yes, go Dogs. Appreciate it, Chris. Good to hear from you, and I'm looking forward to Thursday. As I said to Billy, I really don't know what to expect. I mean, maybe it won't be that competitive. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say the Citadel's going to win. I'm looking now. I don't see any sort of line. I don't see a spread. I'm curious to see what Coastal will be favored by. I'm not going to tell you the Citadel's going to win the game. I do think it is a winnable game. Maybe I'm misjudging Coastal Carolina. They are ranked, but we know, if you listen to the show, you know what I'm about to say. Week one is the biggest toss-up in college football. That's when you want to get these teams. So you get them week one, and it's not like a Clemson you faced last year, or an Alabama, or even a Georgia Tech. I mean, Coastal's really good, don't get me wrong. They got a great quarterback, but they're just not recruiting the same. They don't have the same group of talent and talent mismatch that you have to go up against. And they're a mid-major. That's what it is. It's not a Power 5 team. So it's a step up in class, certainly, but not as big as what you're used to seeing when the Citadel plays FBS schools, therefore giving them a better chance. That's nothing. That's not obvious. I'm not giving you any sort of hot take there. So I don't know what to expect. The Citadel obviously didn't have a great year, but it was such a weird season that it's hard to hold them to the lack of success they had over the past 12 months. And additionally, they were missing a lot of pieces that they now have back. This defense could be really good offensively. It's going to come down to the quarterback, of course, like most teams, but they have a lot of experience. The defense especially, a lot of upperclassmen, guys who got that year back of eligibility who are back this year. In fact, the Citadel, I was putting together my spotting board last week, which is what you use when you broadcast a game to identify the players and you have all your information in front of you. And I was putting it together, and I was just working off of the template I had from the spring, of course. I had to double the players, right? They have twice as many players here in the fall as they did in the spring because of COVID and the opt-outs and everything else. So just by that alone, I mean, there were games in the spring they were playing with 35 guys. They now have more players on this roster than they've had in over 5 years. They're up to like 120. So it's going to be completely different than what we saw this past year. It's going to be that experience I've been talking about for weeks that helps close the gap between some teams, and maybe that plays a role on Thursday. But I'm looking forward to getting up to Brooks Stadium and calling that game and kicking off another season. Coverage will begin over on the city at 6 p.m. Thursday night for the Citadel and Coastal Carolina. And I truly don't know what to expect. I think they'll hang tough. I'm not going to tell you they're going to go win the game, but I don't think it's going to be like we're used to when they played Clemson last year or the second half of Alabama a couple years ago. I think it will be a good, interesting game. Maybe I'm just the homer and eternal optimist for the Citadel working their games. But I do think it'll be competitive. I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be a good game Thursday. I don't think it's going to be a South Carolina, Eastern Illinois, because that's going to be a waste of time. That will be embarrassing. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. 800-919-9500 to give us a call. We'll get to our Big Ten preview when we come back. I'll let you know how the Big Ten will play out this year when we return. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town.
Coming up, how will the Big Ten play out this year? I'll let you know as we start breaking down the Power Five conferences ahead of week one here in college football on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Speaking of which, as college football gets off and running, so too does our weekly Pick'em contest. Make your picks by 5 p.m. Friday each and every week, and you could be the winner of a Fan Zone gift card. Just head to charlestonsportsradio.com. It's live up there today, charlestonsportsradio.com. And if you can pick the most games, you can win a gift card each and every week of the football season. I give you, of course, my official picks every Friday. Lee Sterling will join the show every Thursday moving forward. Guess not this week, but starting next week now with the Citadel game on Thursday. We'll get into that starting next week. And he'll give you his picks each week, and you could play along on your own and see how you do with the Pick'em Challenge on charlestonsportsradio.com. You know, as part of the competition, I'm not telling you that I'm any smarter than the average Joe. Football and sports in general are unpredictable. But it would be fun if, you know, if the picks would have to, if you beat Bobby and I in the picks, then you win the gift card, which would probably be pretty easy. But I'll give you my picks starting Friday. We'll see how we do this year. In fact, I'll give you maybe picks starting Wednesday because we have games Thursday night that are certainly of interest. And there's a big game Thursday night in the Big Ten, which takes me to our Big Ten preview. We're going to break down Power Five conferences over the next couple of days. Two today, two tomorrow. We'll save the SEC, the best for last on Wednesday, leading into Thursday night's game, which start week one. So let's look at the Big Ten breakdown. We have our music. Look, the only theme music that you know when you hear in college football, you know what it is the SEC theme. So we're going to use the SEC theme for every Power Five conference. Deal with it. It's the best theme in college football. And I'm going to miss it. I don't know if that's part of the deal when they go to the ESPN, if ESPN can buy the rights to this song from CBS. But this theme is so good. Tells you a big game's coming up on your Saturday afternoon. Let's run through the Big Ten. Starting with the Eastern Division of the Big Ten. Yes, I have Ohio State winning the East once again. Shocking, I know. Now, the big concern for Ohio State, as I have said, all offseason. Number one, you want to get them early. And they have a couple of tough games early on. Whether it's Minnesota on Thursday night, the game I'm most interested for Thursday, outside of the Citadel, of course, or Oregon the following week. Right, you start right away with those two games. They could lose one of those. Now, the Oregon game doesn't play a role in the conference standings. But you want to get Ohio State early, as they'll be breaking in a redshirt freshman quarterback we have not seen before. But outside of the quarterback position, which, yes, is the most important, Ohio State is expected to have the best group of running backs in the Big Ten, the best group of wide receivers, the best offensive line in the Big Ten. That will help a quarterback. And also believed to have the best defensive line in the Big Ten as well. So just like we saw Mac Jones a year ago, even DJ this year at Clemson, sure, you're breaking in a new quarterback, but they're coming in with talented pieces all around them that makes it a little bit easier. Ohio State, I'll say, wins the East. But it's going to come down, despite those games I mentioned early in the season, it will come down to October 23rd when they go to Indiana. I put Indiana second in the East. With the qualifier that may decide the East, that October 23rd game, Indiana gets Ohio State at home. Problem is, Ohio State will be coming off a bye. Indiana will not. So while they get them at home, Ohio State has 2 weeks to prepare for that one. And it'll be the biggest game in the Big Ten, in the East, in the regular season. And I think that could decide the East. I do think Indiana will be that tough. We had John Blau on the show last week, who now covers Clemson, used to cover Indiana. He warned us last year was no fluke. And if it wasn't for some sort of rule in the most unusual year, they would have been in the Big Ten championship game. Now they get their quarterback back, Michael Penix Jr., as well as eight starters on offense. They've had a good season the last 2 years. I like what Tom Allen's doing. He knows defense. I put Indiana at number two. Number three in the East, I say Penn State. I'm going to chalk up last year's struggles to the pandemic. I'm giving Penn State the benefit of the doubt. They outgained teams last year by over 100 yards per game on average and still struggled, still had a losing season. And it also seemed like after the way that season began, it just snowballed, right? They were kind of, there was no coming back from that. They did play better as the season went along, but just not good enough to try to get back. This year, they have nine starters coming back on offense, and they have one of the more experienced quarterbacks in the Big Ten. I think Penn State will be much better this year. I put them in third. Michigan, I put fourth. That may not sound great, but I do think Michigan will be much improved this year. Last year, they were only 2-4. It's another team I'm willing to chalk up a down season to the pandemic. Also, they were one of the least experienced teams in all of college football a year ago. So you have this unusual season. You have a young team with kids that haven't gone through anything like this. I mean, nobody has, but they haven't dealt with any sort of adversity. They're trying to learn college football, and now they have a pandemic thrown at them. This year, they'll be a little more experienced. They have 17 starters back this season. As always with Harbaugh, it comes down to the quarterback. They'll be trying a new quarterback this year. We'll see. I think Michigan will be much improved from a year ago. Also, Harbaugh's just kind of coaching for his job, so they have to be. At the bottom of the East, I go with Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan State in that order. Rutgers was a bit of a surprise last year, winning three games in year one of Greg Schiano. They have 21 starters coming back from a year ago. They return almost everybody, and they have the number one special teams unit in the Big Ten. So they'll be a tough out. They're not going to be a great team, but they'll be scrappy. They're returning all their starters. They're good on special teams. They're a good coach team. Rutgers took a big step last year. I think they'll be decent this year, but still finish third from the bottom. Then you get to Maryland. Only played five games a year ago. This offense can be good when Tua's brother is actually healthy and playing. They scored 35 against Penn State with him last year. They scored 45 against Minnesota. I don't like Mike Locksley as a head coach, but Maryland has some pieces on offense. If healthy, they can score some points, steal a win here or there. And in last place is Michigan State. Nobody had a tougher job than Mel Tucker last year. First-year head coach, but he also took over after recruiting was done, after signing day, months before the first game. Then they get a pandemic, no spring football. He jumps right in with the first game in October. They lost to Rutgers. That was a bad loss at the time, but what do you expect from Michigan State? This year, they're returning 16 starters. He has a normal offseason. And also, Michigan State last year was minus 14 in turnover margin in their seven games. I imagine they'll do a better job taking care of the football this year. That will help. They'll be improved, but still the worst team in the East. In the Western Division of the Big Ten, I have Wisconsin as the clear favorite in the West. I think Northwestern takes a step back this year. We'll get to that. I don't think Nebraska or Illinois, as we saw on Saturday, will be really good. I think Wisconsin's clearly the best team there. They have a really good backfield. Graham Mertz shined last year when he was actually on the field. Hopefully he doesn't have to deal with COVID this year. Wisconsin will have a top 10 defense in the country. They have a pretty favorable schedule in terms of where they're playing teams and when. I think it's Wisconsin and Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. After that, I go Iowa in second, and Northwestern I put behind Minnesota. So my top of the West, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Northwestern. Iowa is just their steady Eddie with Kirk Ferentz, and I imagine they'll be pretty tough this year. Minnesota I put in third because I chalk up last year. They're another one of those teams. I chalk up their lack of success to the pandemic. This year, Minnesota is one of the most experienced. In fact, I believe they are the most experienced team in the country in terms of how many players they're returning, the upperclassmen they have, and they get Ohio State at home Thursday night where they can really start with a bang with their experienced team against the new quarterback of Ohio State. I think Minnesota is much improved this year. Maybe the most improved team right there at Penn State. Two teams I put in the same boat. Struggled last year because of the pandemic. We'll take a big step in the right direction in 2021. And Northwestern, after their great year last season, I put them fourth because they returned the fewest starters in the Big Ten. They lost more than any other team. They have only 8 starters back out of the 22. Because Northwestern, it's a great academic school. You got kids there that are they're going on to their careers. They're becoming doctors. They're becoming surgeons. They're doing whatever else. They're not sticking around for that extra year of football. Northwestern lost more talent than most teams in the country. So while they had a great year last year, they'll be at a disadvantage this year. When all these other teams are returning all these players, Northwestern is unable to. So I put Northwestern, after going 7-2 last year and getting to that, after winning the West, I put them in fourth place this year. And then rounding out the West, the bottom three, I have Nebraska, Illinois, and Purdue. And I was very hesitant. I did not want to be a prisoner of the moment, an armchair quarterback here on Monday after week zero. I was thinking about putting Nebraska at the very bottom. But I do think they have some talent there. They returned 10 starters on defense, I should say. They have a veteran quarterback. No, they did not play great on Saturday. Yes, they'll continue to make too many mistakes, but I think they'll win enough games to stay out of last place. I put Illinois right behind them and ahead of Purdue because for Illinois, as I said in the open of the show today with my week zero takeaways, they have more seniors than anybody in the country. I think that will help them steal just a couple of wins. Are they going to be good? No. But I think that makes the difference between them finishing in last place and second to last. And Purdue, I put in last place. Jeff Brohm's on the hot seat. They won only 2 games a year ago. They finished with 4 straight losses, despite being favored in 3 of those 4 games. Yes, they're returning 18 starters this year. But they had all those guys last year and still were one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. I put Purdue in last place in the Big Ten this year. And there you have it. My breakdown of the Big Ten in 2021. Give me Ohio State and Wisconsin, the 2 favorites. We're going chalk. The 2 favorites to get into the Big Ten championship. But I do think Penn State, Michigan will be improved. So will Minnesota. And I think Northwestern will take the biggest step back of any team in the Big Ten. We'll wrap up hour one when we come back. I'll give you also my Pac-12 breakdown later on this afternoon as well. It's more Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We're plenty to do this afternoon. We probably won't even get to everything. We'll power rank the rookie quarterbacks after the final preseason weekend. And after just giving you my Big Ten breakdown, we'll preview the Pac-12 coming up later on today as we run through the Power 5 conferences this week. I also have some grievances to get to in a little bit. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a big Tom Petty guy. I'm sure I've told the story before. You probably know the story. This song originally written by Mike Campbell, the guitarist of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And when he brought it to Tom, Tom couldn't make it work, so they gave it to Don Henley. And now it becomes a hit. And it's one of those things, like almost somebody's name. You know somebody by their name their entire life that you think, like, you know, when the parents say, oh, we almost named him Matthew. And you're like, I couldn't see you as a Matthew. Well, yeah, because you know him his whole life as John. Or when someone changes their hair and it's like, you know what? I couldn't see you as a blonde. Yeah, because you've seen them as a brunette for 20 years. It's the same thing with the song. I couldn't see this as a Tom Petty song, but it's because we know it as a Don Henley song. I don't know what it'd be like if Tom Petty did it. Anyways, you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. As we wrap up hour one, let's go to the phones because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
What's you up to, Mr. Luke?
Oh, just talking on the radio, you know, not much.
But anyway, I did your homework this time. I listened to college football all day. First of all, the play-by-play guys need to be more audible. They think everybody can see it, can watch TV, and it's not the case. They need to be audible with the statistics and stuff, which they're not too great at. So they need to think that everybody, disabled or able, can watch TV or do it in their way, the best way they can do it. There was no defense at all in none of the games, not one bit of defense. And UCLA was a good point of that, was 44-10. So it was 24-21 Eastern Illinois with Indiana beating them. And as predicted, it's going to be a cream. In fact, I'm going to up the ante. I think it's going to be 44-10 on Saturday with Carolina.
You think the Gamecocks win 44-10?
Yeah, because Eastern Illinois, they was kind of tight with Indiana, but they're no match for Carolina. They was a match maybe with Indiana, but if they go play that way, it ain't going to work with Carolina. It's going to cream them. I mean, they're no match for Carolina weight, size. Carolina's going to have more offensive weapons. They're going to be better on the defense. And I just see Carolina's just going to cream them in their home game to boot, you know? But UCLA's going to be a force to be reckoned with because they did real good playing offense-wise. And I think UCLA's going to be in the mix during the playoff situation.
You think UCLA could be a playoff team this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
I sure do.
Bold prediction from Super Dave here after week zero. Keep doing that homework, Super Dave. Leave no stone unturned. Make sure there's not some sort of wide receiver Eastern Illinois was saving for week one against the Gamecocks. Maybe they didn't want to expose them. They don't want to show all their great plays on Saturday. And we will get an official scouting report from Super Dave. We'll probably do it on Friday. We'll package it, we'll have some music, we'll have an intro for Super Dave, and we will get an official scouting report ahead of Eastern Illinois and South Carolina. Looking forward to that from Super Dave later this week. Coming up, hour two, we'll rank rookie quarterbacks, we'll preview the Pac-12, and I got some grievances to get to from over the weekend. It's the More Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.